How many are glad to be here today? Are you still glad to be in the house of God after all this time? Are you still glad? Yeah, okay. See, isn't there something about being in the house of God that refreshes you? It's so good to see so many of you here today, and I have a special guest. Where'd he go? Where's Jody at? Where's Aaron? There he is. It's Aaron. Hey, Aaron. It's good to have Aaron Spartan back, all the way back from 7 months in Iraq. Stand up, Aaron. We want to honor you today. Yeah. Yes. Amen. We thank the Lord for his safe return as he just finished a 7-month tour of duty with the Marine Corps. And they'll be here for a couple weeks, but they're moving and being restationed in San Diego. And so make sure you hug their necks this week and catch them and let them know that you love them. And don't cry too much because mama can't take any more crying, right, Sharon? Yeah. Well, today is so good to have you, and we are so thankful for you and your family. And we are such thrilled today to share the Word of God with you. How many know that the Word of God brings life? The Word of God brings life to our life. It brings correction, it brings instruction, it brings growth. And today we are wanting to grow, and today we are in the middle of a series. If you're a guest, we're in the middle of a series we've titled Getting Out of Our Comfort Zone. And we talked about what it means to live right here. This is a symbol of comfort, our lazy boys. And we even talked about breaking that lazy boy spirit in our life. And we talked about what it means to get out of our comfort zone and to go to the place that God has us to go. He says that what? He says that I want you to get saved, and then I want you to live in a place of comfort all your life, right? No. What's he say? He says that I'm calling you to what? To be a sheep among wolves. Now, there's a place that God is calling us that, yes, we find comfort right here in who God is, that God is in control of all of my life, that God's in control of everything I'm going through, and we know those things. But more than that, we know that there is something that God has called us to do that causes us and challenges us to get out of our comfort zone and to get out and to live life on the edge as his witness. He's called us to be what? Fishers of men. And we talked about that God has called you and I to be fishers of men. Every one of us are called to be fishers of men. And we know that as we're called to be fishers of men, he says this, that if you are my follower, what will happen? He says, follow after me and I will make you fishers of men. And so we know if we are God's followers, if we're Christ's follower, we're fishing for men, for women. We're fishing. And if we're not fishing, are we truly following? That's the question we're asking. If we're not fishing, are we truly following? And we're learning what it means to be a fisher of men, a fisher of the men that God said, I want you to reach. And so if we're going to be a fisher of men, we got to realize then, who was the best fisherman? Of men. Jesus. Jesus came and he walked this earth and he didn't just say, I want you to fish for men, but he said, I'm going to show you how to do that. I'm going to show you how to fish for men. And if we really study the scripture carefully and correctly, we see exactly how Jesus reached people. Exactly how Jesus went fishing for men. And it's such an awesome thing because it's so much here. And I love this first chapter of John because especially this last half that we're studying last week. And today, last week we talked about fishing tips from the master. And today I want to continue in this thought, fishing tips from the master, part two. We're going to finish up this message on fishing tips from the master. And last week we talked about how Jesus went and he fished. And we realized this, first of all, everyone has different personalities. Every one of us have different personalities. That Jesus, when he called out to Andrew and John, that they were people-centered people. That they wanted to be around people. They wanted a relationship. And they asked Jesus, Jesus said, hey, what's going on? What do you have need of in your life? And they said, where are you staying at? They wanted to know where he was hanging out at. And so they went and hung out with Jesus. And then we find out after that they converted. And Jesus, they accepted Jesus into their life. And they became a Christ follower. But it all started when Jesus met them through relationship. We see with Peter. We talked about Rocky last week. We talked about how Peter was Rocky, you know, how Peter liked to challenge. And that was his personality, that he was a challenge. He's a purpose-centered person. He wanted a purpose, a challenge to really motivate him. And Jesus knew this. And so when Jesus went to Peter, he said, hey, Peter. He said, your name's not Peter, but hey, your name's going to be called Peter, Cephas. He said, you're Simon right now, but you're going to be called Peter, and your name's going to mean rock. And he challenged him. He said, listen, I see you as a rock, a strong one. And he challenged him to the core. And then we see Philip where Jesus went to Philip and he found Philip. And we find where Philip, as we study out Philip throughout Scripture, we see he was a peace-centered person. And we see where Jesus said, follow me. He says, I'm the map. I'm the person who's going to show you the way. Philip was not going to go out and blaze any trails, but he wanted to go out and follow the trail that was already blazed. And Jesus said, hey, that's good. I've already blazed the trail. Come follow me, and I'll show you the way. And then we see Nathaniel, where his character was internally centered and how he was all about the mental part of figuring it all out. And when Jesus finds him, when Jesus goes to him, what's he do? He sees to his heart and he speaks to his heart and says, hey, Nathaniel, I saw you under the fig tree. I know what you've been praying. I know what you've been asking of God. I know who you really are. And Jesus speaks to the very heart of who Nathaniel is. That's how he ministered to him. And so today in part two, we're going to pick it back up. Not only has everyone had different personalities, but as we see here that people have respond to different methods. People respond to different methods when it comes to fishing for them. The first message we want to talk about is the way that Andrew and John responded. The preacher's message. The preacher's message. In verse 35 and 37, we see here where Andrew and John were with John the Baptist. And as they're following John the Baptist, the prophet, Jesus walks by, and John the Baptist preached today this one of the best sermons I think has ever been preached in the history of mankind. He looks at Andrew, and what's he saying? John, he says this. He says, look, behold, the Son of Man, the Son of God. Look, behold, the Lamb of God. Look, behold, the Lamb of God. And as we look after this, we see where John was the preacher. He was the prophet, and he says, look, behold, the Son of God. And what do? They go and they follow Jesus. It's a very simple way. How many today could say this, that you were reached, you accepted Jesus after a preacher's message? How many here could raise your hand and say, I accepted Christ after a preacher's message? We have a lot of hands that went up. A lot of people accept Christ after a preacher's message. If you ever get in a situation where you have to speak publicly, and someone asks you to speak, maybe you have a study group, or you have a group you belong to, and the speaker doesn't show up, or maybe they ask you in advance, or whatever, and you got to speak, and you don't know what to say, let me tell you, this is a great sermon. You can never forget it. Look to Jesus. Just point people to Jesus, and you can't go wrong. As you say, look to him. Look, there's this Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. A preacher can't go wrong when he's preaching the message that says, look to Jesus. For a lot of us, that's the way we respond through the preacher's message. And I think that we get this because it's such an awesome thing that the Holy Spirit speaks to us through a preacher's message. And this is one of the most awesome things as being a pastor that I ever experienced is that many times as people are leaving, they'll stop and say, pastor, today's message, and it spoke to me right about this particular area of my life. And then somebody else will come along and they'll say just the exact opposite. Oh, pastor, the message really ministered to me, but it spoke to me about the very opposite thing that I preached about. That's what they said about. And I'm thinking, how could two people get ministered to from the same message and get two totally opposite things? How is that? It's the Holy Spirit. I think we can liken it to the example of the UN. We see the United Nations when they are having their conference that when one person is speaking, that they have earplugs, all these people have earplugs, and when someone is speaking from a different language or culture, which they're not used to hearing, they have translators who are translating in their ear the right message. So even though they may not know what's being said from the person originally, they have translators who are translating in their ear what's being said. And I often wonder, what a great job. Because I would always be saying things like, you just called your mama ugly. You know, I would make up things. I just think, we put a lot of trust in these people in the UN, you know. Who knows? I wonder how many wars have been fought because some guy mistranslated or had a personal grudge. Just a little side thought there. But anyway, but that's the way the Holy Spirit works in our life, that he can translate to us. He'll translate to you one thing. He'll translate to you another. He'll translate to you another. And as the Word of God comes forth, it brings life. And the Holy Spirit will take that, and he will take it and use it for exactly what you need. Many of you will say, pastor, that was exactly what I needed today. You know, and I'm not that brilliant, I can tell you. I'm not that brilliant that I can turn around and give you and you and you and you and you exactly what you need. Okay? The Holy Spirit may speak to me and lead me, but I'm not that brilliant. What happens? It's the Holy Spirit who takes the message that's being spoken, and he takes it, and if you open your heart, he will use it to translate exactly what you need to hear. And so a preacher's message is one way that we see people are reached. That's why it's important that many times we invite people to come to church with us. Invite people to come, hear the preacher's message, because we allow once we get them here, then we allow the Holy Spirit to translate in their life what's being spoken about. There's been times I spoke about things I thought there's no way that someone knew or somebody who is going through a certain thing is going to get anything out of this today, but God, I'm preaching on this, and they'll come to me and say, oh, man, that's exactly what I needed. I'm thinking, man, I don't know how, but, you know, it's the Holy Spirit. It takes that and translates it into our life through a personal witness, and we see that. Andrew was so good at this. Andrew went and found Peter. Look what he says here. I'm sorry. The second way is a personal witness. And we see this happening right here. The second way is the personal witness. This is how Andrew went and found Peter. And this is how he witnessed to his brother. He says this, we have found the Messiah. In verse 41, in verse 42, he simply says, Peter, we found the Messiah. This is big. This is very big because they had been longing for the Messiah. They had been longing, asking, when is the Messiah going to return? When is the Messiah coming that's been promised? And so Andrew goes to Peter and says, I have found the Messiah. This is a big thing because it's a personal witness. One person telling the other person, Jesus Christ, about who he is in their life and what brings them over the line. As many times as one person would do this, he would go to them and say, listen, I have found what you're looking for. I found the person you've been asking about. I know you've been asking about, is there hope? You've been asking about, where's the hope that I need? Where's the peace that I need? Where's the thing that I need in my life, my family, my spirit, my marriage, my children? People are all around asking those questions. When is it? When's my thing going to come? And you can say, I've got what you're looking for. I have found him. I know where the Messiah is. He is alive in my heart. Let me tell you about Jesus. It's the personal witness. It's a powerful way. Can you imagine this thing that Andrew goes and knocks on his brother's door? Peter's his brother, and he goes, hey, Peter. And I can't imagine that they went there and he knocked on the door and he said, Peter. And I can't imagine Peter saying, oh, Andrew, where art thou, brother? Come thy in, you know. I mean, these were the real guys. They were not wearing any halos on their heads. These are fishermen. These are brute of men. I bet he probably said, what are you doing knocking on the door? You know I'm trying to get some rest. He probably yelled at him, what do you want, brother? Knocking on my door, you know, leave me alone. I told you, we're not going back out until tomorrow, whatever it was. But we see where he had a personal witness, and he went, and he knocked on the door. Hey, Pete, listen, God, I found him. I have found the Messiah. I found the one we've been praying about. And we see where Andrew was continually bringing people to Jesus. Over in chapter 6 and verse 8, we see where Andrew was the one who brought the little boy to Jesus who had the loaves and the fish. We find out in chapter 20, he brings some Greek people who were to the meeting, and they were not supposed to get in. They weren't Jews, and so it was only a Jewish meeting, and Andrew's the one that brought the Greeks to the meeting and got them in to see Jesus. And, I mean, Andrew was always thinking out of the box. He was always going and getting people and bringing them to Jesus. Many people are reached through just a simple personal witness of people bringing people to Jesus. I wonder how many of us God wants to use to reach our brother, our sister for Jesus. I wonder how many of us that God wants to use us to have an impact on our family. How many of us that God wants to use you to have that impact on your family today? Some of you maybe feel like you're not an effective witness when it comes to reaching people. And there's a lot of times when you feel kind of foolish when you're talking about your faith because you don't feel like you have all the answers. Some of you don't think you have the power to do this knowledge, and I understand that. Wouldn't it be great if we could just take Jesus himself? I mean, here's the expert. Wouldn't it be great if we could just take Jesus himself and transplant him right there in our situation? I mean, some of you got some family members you know I'm talking about. You're thinking, man, I would really like to reach these family members, but I don't feel like I'm adequate enough to talk to them about Jesus. But wouldn't it be great if I take Jesus, if I could just, you know, transport him, put him right there. You know, beam me up, Scotty, boom, boom. He's there right there. Jesus is there. What can happen? Because when I allow the Holy Spirit to fill my life, when I allow the Holy Spirit to come into my life and empower me, he says, I will be the witness. I will be whose witness? Jesus. He says, I shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon me, and I shall be his witness. So when I allow the Holy Spirit to empower my life and to lead my life, it's just like I'm allowing Jesus to be right there and the witness. And yeah, I may be a little bit nervous, And yes, I may not feel like I have all the answers, but if I simply say that Jesus loves you, I have found the Messiah. I have found who Jesus is. I found the answer to the problems I was praying, the prayers I've been praying and asking God to help. I have found my answer. It's Jesus. As I step out and simply do those certain things like there, the Holy Spirit will take over, and I guarantee He'll lead you the rest of the way of that conversation. He will give you the right words to say. He'll tell you when to be quiet, when to speak, when to leave alone. I mean, it's just amazing that happens when you step out of faith, out of that comfort zone, and allow Him to use you as a witness. We allow the Holy Spirit to empower us. What's the third way we're talking about? Third method here is the personal experience. In verse 43, we see this, that Philip's life, that no one brought Philip to Christ. No one brought Philip to Christ. We see where Jesus went to him. Jesus went to Philip and he found him. I imagine that Philip has already had seeds planted. Jesus had already been walking the earth. The word had already begun to spread. And there had already been some seeds planted in Philip's life. So when Jesus went to Philip, he immediately began to follow after him because he was just waiting for someone to come to him. Listen, don't discredit planting of seeds, okay? Don't discredit you witnessing to somebody. Even though they'll make a decision right then, you don't know when that person is going to follow somebody else and somebody else is going to talk to them and they accept Jesus. You don't know when that person is going to hear your testimony and maybe what you say to them moves them to come to a Sunday morning service and what the pastor preaches moves the heart, all because you took time to talk to them during the week. Okay, don't discredit that, because we see here where we see a personal experience, that he had a personal experience with Christ. Someone had planted in him, whether you heard the sermons, they hear sermons on the radio or the TV or wherever they're at, but somewhere along the line, many people, they've heard the message, and somewhere along the line, they just fall on their face before God. They say, God, I'm tired of doing this thing alone. They're not in a church. They're not with nobody, but they stop their car on the side of the road, and they cry out to God and say, God, if you're real, I'll serve you. Or they'll get out of their bed at night, and they'll kneel before their bed and say, God, if you're really real, I'll serve you. I'll give you my life. And how many times have we heard people like that who made those decisions where there was no message being preached, there was nobody talking to them? But because those seeds that have been planted, they found that experience, personal experience with Jesus. The final method was the persistent witness. Persistent witness. We see in verse 45 through 51 where Philip, after he is converted, he goes and he gets Nathanael. And Nathanael says this. Look at what Philip says to Nathanael. Great news. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. We found him. Here he is. And Nathanael says to him, Nazareth, nothing good can come out of there. How many of us would go, yeah, you're probably right. There's probably nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Now, if that's the way you really feel, then there's probably no sense in talking to you anymore about the gospel. Have you ever met people like that are always sarcastic? I mean, I've met some people like that. Some of you say, yeah, I used to be that way. How many of us know people who we witness to and you try to witness to them and they're always sarcastic? Yeah, yeah. And they always say things, you know, to you that are sarcastic. And it makes you want to give up, doesn't it? It makes you want to give up because you don't want to talk to people who are sarcastic. If you tell them Jesus loves you, they say, whatever. Yeah, he loves me. You know, they're sarcastic and, yeah, whatever. Jesus, he may love you, but he don't love me. I mean, all these things that people throw out that can either turn us away to stop witnessing to them, or we can continue to do what? We can say, you know what? Jesus does love you. Jesus, we have found the Messiah. Yeah, I know you think nothing good can come out of Nazareth, but listen, we have found the Messiah, a persistent witness. Sometimes it takes people who are willing to fight through the negativity of someone's spirit to reach them. I wonder how many of us, if someone had given up on us the first time they talked about the Jesus with us, that we would be here today. How many of us, if someone had given up on us because we didn't say yes right away, if someone had given up on us because we were sarcastic to them, but how many are thankful that somebody was persistent in coming after you and telling you that Jesus loves you, and that Jesus has something better for your life? Many of us are here today because of that person who was persistent enough to stay with us and continue to tell us about Jesus. It takes that persistence if you want to reach people many times, that many people need somebody just to stay with them, to continue to go to them. Some of you here today may say, Pastor, wow, but what do you do? What happens if you get a negative response? And let me say to you this. The question is not what if, the question is when. Because when you're telling people about Jesus, you're going to get some negative responses. It's a matter of fact. You know, when I go fishing, I'm going to lose some fish. I'm not always going to get the bite that I want. I'm not always going to reel it in. But I don't stop fishing. Okay? And it's not going to happen as much as you think. Some of you are fearful it's going to happen all the time. It's not going to happen as much as you think. And I guarantee you, the first time you pull that big one in, you're going to be hooked. It's like you go bass fishing, man. You go bass fishing, and you ever latch onto a largemouth bass, man, and fight that thing in? You're hooked, man. You want to fish. I want to go fishing. And just a little bit of nibbles many times keeps you coming back because you know that big one's out there. The same thing, when you witness the people and you reel one in, man, you see that the Holy Spirit hooked them in their life and they accept Jesus. Man, you get a taste of that and you want that. You want that in your life. But don't give up just because somebody doesn't come in right away. Don't give up on them. Persistently go after them. Because it's going to happen. People are not always going to say yes. Just say this, come and see. I like what Philip's response to him says. Come and see. Just come and see. He didn't say, listen, your attitude's wrong. Your sarcasm is wrong. He didn't argue with him. Isn't that cool? He didn't argue with him. And I had people who were intellectual as Philip was, always trying to figure it out, and they want to argue with me about the Bible. What does the Bible say this? And twist this around. And they try to twist Scripture around. They have Scripture in it. They know more Scripture about it than you do many times. They've studied it out, and man, they got it all figured out in their mind. And this is a few things they cannot connect the dots to, and so they want to have the exact answers before they'll ever step over. And they'll be sarcastic, and they'll try to debate you. And listen, don't get in debate. Just simply say, come and see. That's the best response to someone who is that way, is to say, listen, all I can tell you is what God's done in my life. He has changed my life. Come and see if it will not change your life. Don't sit there and fight with them. Don't sit there and argue with them. Just say, God loves you. Just come and see. It's the best way to approach us. What a great example as I see as we approach people who are like this. Not only do we have different personalities, not only do we have different methods of reaching them, but we also have different barriers that we're trying to get through. People are trying to get through different barriers in our life. The first barrier I want to talk to you about was the barrier that Andrew and John went through. It wasn't a sin of their past, but it was a past. The first barrier people got to get through many times to get to Jesus is the past. They got to break through the past to get to Jesus. What was their past? What was their past? What was Andrew and John's past? They had to get past John the Baptist to get to Jesus. I mean, John the Baptist, he was the flavor of the month, man. He was the hot happening revival of the day. I mean, he was the hot prophet. I mean, if he had been writing books, everybody was reading his books, you know. Everybody had been listening to his videos and tapes and the whole thing. He was the hot prophet. In order for them to get to Jesus, they had to leave John the Baptist. And today, for many of us here, to get past barriers, to help people get past barriers, not only do we have to get past barriers in our life, but we've got to help people get past barriers in their life. The barrier they had to get overcome was the barrier of the past. And for some of us, that's a past failure. For some of us, that's a past of religion. Some of us, the past of denominational walls. Some of us, the past of hurts in our life. Some of us, the past of saying, you know what, I've got to follow after God. I've got to quit wanting so much money in my life and this and that. All these things that can come and attach themselves to us in order to get to Jesus. Many times we've got to help people get past these barriers in our life. Everybody has a past. That's one thing we all have in common. We all have a past. We all have a past, and it looks differently. And to get to Jesus, we got to get past our past, and we got to be able to help people walk past their past. And it doesn't happen just like that. Getting past our past, it takes a while, okay? The past didn't happen overnight, and we're not going to get past it overnight, okay? It takes time. You got to be patient as you're walking people into a relationship with Jesus, that we help them along the way, that it takes time to get past our past. We got to help them get through that. We see whether they were able to get past their past of John the Baptist and go and follow after Jesus. The second barrier we see was the barrier of pride. All of us have this pride in our life, doesn't it? And I think this is such an awesome example. We see Andrew, he gets converted, gets past his past, gets converted, and what's he do? He goes after his brother Peter. Now, let's just take a second here. I'm getting ready to close. Let me give this to you real fast, though. That Peter was his older brother. He was a star man. He was the foreman. He was the owner of the fishing company. He was the one who liked the challenge. I can imagine he was probably the jock of the siblings. He was probably the one who was always promoted. He was the one that father always liked best, you know. Mom always gave the first piece of pie to. I mean, he was the one that everybody liked to be around. He was the one that really was the star. And so here's Andrew. He finds the Messiah, And he can say this right here. He can say, you know what? Peter's always a star of everything. He's got his own thing. I'll just let Peter find it on his own, and I'm going to bask in the glory of being a disciple. I'm going to bask in the glory of thinking, you know what? I found something for once that Peter's not good at. How many of us have that pride attitude in our life that keeps us sometimes from telling other people, oh, don't tell me you've never heard of it in the church. I will tell you this, as a pastor who's been a minister a long time, I've seen people who have prayed for a spouse to come to church for many years. They came alone by themselves, and when that spouse finally starts coming to church, the other spouse quits. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But you know what the real answer was? It's not for everybody, but I have seen this happen to people. They liked church was their thing. Church was their friends. Church was their pocket of, you know, of comfort. And they didn't like sharing that with somebody else that was close to them. So in fact, we had to go find another church. I mean, how selfish we can get as individuals. We see pride that takes over. Andrew broke through this right away. How did he do that? He acted quickly. If he took his time and said, you know what, if I really think about this, if I ask Peter, he's going to jump ahead of me automatically. Matter of fact, he's probably going to be one of Jesus' favorites. And right now, there's a top three, and I'm at the bottom of the three. And, you know, if he had a cell phone, he wouldn't have been in his top five. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. He'd have been bumped out. If I bring Peter, I just know Peter, he's going to excel. Did he let them stop him? No. He didn't let his pride stop him. He went to his brother and said, hey, bro, I found the Messiah. I found him. And, you know, we see through Scripture where Peter went on to be the great man that Andrew thought he would be. Peter was one of the top three disciples. He's one of the ones who gave the first message on the day of Pentecost. Went on, he was one of the great patriarchs of the New Testament. Went on to build the church of God. He's the one that's wrote about the most. And we don't hear a lot about Andrew. So Andrew was probably right in thinking, you know what, Peter's going to be this hot shot. But you know what, if it wasn't for Andrew, Peter never would have done the things that he did. If it wasn't that Andrew had went to him and shared with him, Peter had not done the great things he did for God. The advancement of the kingdom of the New Testament would not have taken place to the extent it did if Andrew had not broke through his pride and went to his brother. I wonder how many of us have pride issues in our life that we need to go to people. Maybe it's not because of jealousy, but maybe it's for other reasons. We have pride that we don't want to talk to somebody in our life about Jesus. Pride about what they may think about us. Pride about maybe they'll come in and get on my thing. Maybe it is a sibling. Maybe it is a cousin. Maybe it is somebody that's always a star and you're worried about them coming in and being on. Break through that. Act quickly. To get through the past, you got to give it your time. Listen, to get past the past, you got to give it your time. And to get through pride, you got to act quickly to break through this. The third barrier many times we got to go through is this simple barrier. Philip, Jesus went to him. And Jesus went to him because nobody else did. Nobody else was going to Philip. And so Jesus simply went to him. And what's the barrier here? Simply this. No one asked him. No one asked him. And I wonder, how many people are just like Philip? How many people are just like Philip that they're just waiting for somebody to ask them? Jesus simply went to him and said, hey, Philip, follow me. All right, cool. I'm there, man. That's what happened. He simply went to him and asked. How many people are at our job this week, at our school, at our college, in our neighborhood, in our family, in the line at Walmart, if we simply just ask, would they come? You know what? I've been looking for a church. I'm glad you asked me. Wow. I've been looking for some answers. I'm glad you've offered some help. I've been looking for someone to get a relationship with. Thanks for asking me. Simply just ask. How many people did we pass this week that we simply just didn't ask, who maybe they were the Philip, that were looking for somebody to say, hey, would you like to go to church this Sunday? Yeah, I'll be there. And then the Holy Spirit speaks what's being said and touches their heart. But we got to ask. Get past that barrier. Just ask. Get past there. As simple as can be. No one asked him. We simply got to learn to ask him. And this last barrier is the barrier of prejudice. Nathaniel had it. It was the barrier of prejudice. Philip said to Nathanael, hey, come. See, we found the Messiah. What's Nathanael say? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? We found the Jesus of Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, talk about prejudice. He was saying, what? He was saying, man, can anything good come out of that town? You know that town. You know that nation. You know who they are. You know those people. Nothing good can come from them. He had prejudice in his heart. And I wonder how many people that we face that have prejudice. Hey, man, why don't you come to go to church? I ain't going to church. They're all full of hypocrites. You ever heard that before? Yeah. You haven't been talking to nobody if you haven't heard that one. And you know, I always say, you're right. So why don't you come and join us? We can all be hypocrites together, you know? The church is not full of perfect people. We're all sinners saved by grace. None of us are perfect. It's the Holy Spirit in us. It's forgiveness. It's grace that brings us to perfect. But we have people we face that they're going to have to get past this barrier of being prejudiced. How do you do that? Invite them to come and see. That's how simple it was. Hey, I know that you've been burnt before. Hey, I know you got hurt at your last church. Hey, I know that you got hurt somewhere along the way. All I'm telling you is this, that I feel the power of God where I'm at. I feel God's Spirit changing me. My marriage is getting stronger. My Christian walk is getting stronger. All I do is invite you to come and see. Just come and see. And if you don't get anything out of it, then don't come back. If you don't think God can change your life, then don't come back. But I'm not going to argue with you about hypocrites. I'm not going to argue with you about the time you was hurt. We've all been hurt. Let me tell you this. I have found something that is working. I have found something that has changed my life. Come and see. Come and see. Zzz. I'm learning to fish. Every one of us are meeting people every day that we need to learn to fish for. Everyone's a passing people that we have a lot to learn to fish for. If I'm a follower of Christ, I'm fishing. But we've got to be smart. How do we do that? I've learned from the Master. I challenge you this week. Take some time. Go back through this chapter of 1 John. Start in verse 35 and work your way from 35 through verse 51. When Jesus called his first disciples. And look how intelligently, how strategic, how great it was of a call that he gave to every person. How individual it was, how their personalities matched the call that he gave them, and how they were met, how they were one, through relationship, through the right words, through spending time with them. I mean, what a great example. So see, as we learn from the fishing master, as we learn from Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, you're talking about being a fisher of men and you're talking about learning how to fish for people, I can honestly say today as you're talking that I'm one of the fish who need to be caught. I'm one of the people who needs to give their life to Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you today, but I want to give you the opportunity that I've given everybody here today, and so many of us here have made this same decision today, including myself, when I raised my hand and said I wanted to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I will not embarrass you, but I want to give you that opportunity today. No one's looking but me. And say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life. I want to ask him to be Lord of my life. If you're here today and you want to pray that prayer, no one's looking but me. And say, I want to ask Jesus into my life. Can you just raise your hand? That's me. Raise it high where I can see. Anybody else here today? Raise a hand if that's you. Say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus. Second question I have for you today is you are here. You say, Pastor, as you're talking, I realized that I've got to learn to be the fisherman that God's called me to be. As you're talking, I realized that I've got some barriers that have kept me from being the effective witness that God's called me to be. I've allowed people's prejudice, or I've allowed fears, or I've allowed pride, sarcasm, fear of inaccuracy, whatever it is, I've allowed things to stop me from just trying to show people that God loves them and to tell them. And today I want to learn what it means to be a fisherman. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me to be a better fisherman. Perhaps you can just raise your hands and say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands going up everywhere. Anybody else today? You're just raising your hand saying, I want to learn to be a better fisherman. Thank you. Thank you. I want to learn what it means to be a true follower of Christ. Thanks, guys, for being honest. Thanks, ladies, for being honest. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. I've shared before that at Destiny Church, if we ever quit seeing new people come in, that means what? That means that either what we're doing is not something that you want to bring your friends to, or it means we're getting too comfortable. We're living too much in the recliner. I pray that we don't have this problem. We're a new church, and we don't have this problem where we are just settling in. But if we don't watch it, we can allow this Christianese spirit to come in, and I talked about it, and to suck us into this hole of us being very comfortable with our few friends and no more. But God hasn't called us to reach just our few friends and no more. He's called us to reach our friends, our family, and the world around us. And it starts when I open up my eyes, say, God, get me out of the comfort zone. Teach me to be your fisherman, God. That Colossians 4 prayer, we're still praying that prayer. God, open my eyes today that I can share your message with somebody who needs it. Simple prayer we're praying every day. God, open my eyes, open my heart, open the pathway that I can share your message of love with somebody who needs it today. I'm going to pray for those who raised their hands today that God would empower you to be this kind of witness. Father, I thank you today, Lord. So many hands that went up. So many hands that went up that said that, Father, they are wanting to be a better fisherman. They're wanting to learn from the master, Lord. That God, you're calling us to get out of our comfort zone. You're calling us, God, to reach people. And Father, we're not going to give up on them because maybe they reject it the first time. We're not going to give up on them because maybe they don't act like they're interested. But God, give us a persistent witness. Help us to get past our pride. Help us to get past our fears. And God, allowing your Holy Spirit to work through us, God, as we share your love with those. God, may we simply share that, God, you have changed our life and that you want to change their life. That's how simple it is. That God, we believe in you, that you have changed my life. You've changed my family. You've changed my marriage. And he can do the same for them. As we share your love, Father, I pray that you give us creativity in sharing your gospel. And God, may we not be comfortable just going through the motions. May we not ease back in our recliner of Christianity, God, and hide behind that recliner. But God, may we get out, Lord, and reach a world that needs to know that you love them. May that be the burning desire of our heart, God, as we simply tell people every day that, God, you want to change their life and that you died for them and that you love them. Father, we say yes to that today. I pray that your Holy Spirit right now, Lord, every hand that was raised today, may your Holy Spirit empower them, God, to be an effective witness for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we say together, amen. And amen. God bless you today. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. God bless you.